Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. On Friday, June the 19th, thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. This is one of our most read stories on the site today. Residents have raised concerns about a motorway slip road near Faversham being closed for several weeks as part of a house building project. Well, Lucy joins me now on the episode. Lucy, can you just give us some background on this one?
Yes, so developer Red Row is currently building an estate in the town known as Preston Fields. Work on 231 properties is underway and they're waiting for permission for another 70. At the moment, access to the site is via Canterbury Road along the A2. However, they're going to create a second entrance via Ashford Road. Once complete, it'll be situated a few hundred metres from Junction 6 of the M2. While the work takes place, the junction in the coastbound direction will be closed, so anyone wanting to visit Faversham will have to carry on to Brenly Corner and come back or use the A2 from Sittingbourne. The work will take place between July 28th and August 22nd, and temporary traffic lights will be installed along Ashford Road from the slip road to the Aldi roundabout. Further traffic management will then be in place when contractors narrow the stretch until September 3rd.
And what are the concerns?
Well, some people living there have complained it'll add time to journeys and cause congestion. 85-year-old Peter Smith has lived in the road for more than 5 decades and says he's fed up with it being a hotspot for works. He's told us he often travels to Gillingham to go shopping, but this will mean he'll have to go all the way down to Brenly Corner to then head back home. Others, including Jeff Stradling, who's 74, believes all of the extra homes in the area will cause gridlock.
And Lucy, what have we heard from the developer?
Red Row bosses have written to local people and have apologised, saying the work is taking place during the summer holidays to minimise disruption. A spokesperson went on to say the safety of our residents and the surrounding community is always our utmost priority. In this instance, we explored many options and agreed with the local highway authority and council. These were the safest and least disruptive available. As soon as the works are complete in early September, all traffic management systems will be removed and the roads will be open as normal to the public. We are sorry for the inconvenience this has caused.
Lucy, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and a man who made £185,000 from smuggling people from the UK to France has been jailed. Jaskarat Singh was arrested and charged after officers found 11 Indian nationals hiding in the trailer of a lorry at Dover in December 2024. The 25-year-old had been advertising his services on TikTok and has now been locked up for 5 years and 3 months. More than 100 people have had to flee the Dartford Tunnel after a van caught alight. One woman's described how she and her baby grandson had to leave her car and walk to safety after seeing smoke yesterday evening. Firefighters were called and say an engine fault was to blame. The Sheppey Crossing's back open today after another closure for emergency repairs yesterday evening. It's the third time in a month work's been carried out on a faulty bridge joint. Elsewhere, the Ramsgate Tunnel's also reopened after being closed all day yesterday following a suspected arson attack involving 2 caravans.
Kent Online reports.
Next on today's episode, and South East Water bosses say they're working to improve communication with customers following recent outages. Supply Director Douglas Whitfield has been answering questions at a council meeting in Tunbridge Wells, where thousands of residents were left without water before and after Christmas. He says they're holding workshops and investing millions to improve their network. We're being urged to prepare for heatwave conditions as temperatures soar across Kent. An amber heat health alert is in force until next Tuesday. UV levels are expected to be high because of the summer solstice. Next, and a warning's been issued about thieves stealing dead wood from felled trees at nature sites in Kent. They've been left as a habitat for wildlife at Upper Fulling Pits Wood and Penydon Heath in Maidstone. Council bosses say some people are using chainsaws to remove logs which aren't there to be taken. Campaigners have criticised the lack of affordable housing in plans for a development in Margate. An application's been submitted for 150 homes on the site of the former Royal School for Deaf Children on Victoria Road. Only 23 of the properties would be classed as affordable. A decision on whether to approve the plans has been deferred. Next on today's episode, a mum from Leybourne who lost her baby is fundraising for a memorial garden to help other grieving families. 18 months after her son Dexter was born sleeping, Emily Rollinson is pushing to create a safe space at Tunbridge Wells Hospital. Emily and bereavement midwife Harriet Wyatt have been planning the memorial garden for over a year.
It came more from Harriet. Harriet had an idea and it started with wanting a safe space for parents. The more we thought about it, the more we got into it, the different elements thing became really important to make the garden hopefully the special place that it will be. For me, I really want Dexter's name to be written somewhere. Dexter was cremated, so really the only place his name is ever displayed is here in our home, and I really would love his name to be out there so people can read it, people can say it, people can talk about him. In the garden, we're going to have a memorial wall that's going to have plaques on it, that's going to have the baby's names, which is really important to me. We've got other elements of postbox to heaven, which I'm really passionate about. We've already bought the postbox. It's already in storage waiting for the garden. Yeah. Because I just think definitely for children learning to grieve, being able to express things, writing down or pictures or cards and being able to send them somewhere, I think is really important. My daughter constantly draws pictures and in every picture Dexter is in the sky. I think it's really important that that element of the garden's also there. We've got a play area that we're looking at putting in just so that siblings can go up and feel safe enough to be themselves while their parents are grieving.
Because it's not just the parents that grieve. If you have other children who, even if they're little and have limited understanding, everybody is so affected by the loss of a baby. It's not just the parents, it's the grandparents, it's aunts, uncles, siblings. So we want to make it as family friendly as possible so that anybody that feels that they could benefit or get some comfort from the garden, just a safe space to, or a quiet space hopefully, to reflect and think about their babies.
Currently we have got some funds at the hospital that two other families have donated, and last year we raised nearly £7,000, and our target this year is another £5,000. To make up to £20,000, and that will be for the groundworks of the garden. And then we're going to be hopefully having materials donated and things that are going to finish the garden and make it the special place. Hopefully, we're hoping that companies will be able to help facilitate. We have got a fun day coming up on the 2nd of August at Riage, which is between 10 and 2, so people can come down and support us there. We had one last year. It's going to be an annual thing. It was a great success. Yeah, it was just a really lovely family day. We had lots of bereaved families there helping as well, which was really lovely. One of the main things for me when you lose a baby, it's incredibly lonely. Even if you're surrounded by people, you feel incredibly lonely. So connecting with other mums that have felt the same, have been in that situation, has always been really important to me. And so we do a coffee morning as well every first Tuesday of the month, where bereaved families can come just to be amongst other families that know how they're feeling. I love it. I love the fact that every single month we have different mums that come, or nans that come. We've had granddads that come. We've had dads that come. Sometimes we all sit there crying. Other times we laugh the whole time and we can spend 2.5 hours literally laughing. Mm. Yeah, it's a really lovely, lovely place. And again, it's one of those things that we want to build on with the garden. Hopefully we can get a community that can go to the garden and celebrate things like Christmas together with our names of our babies around us. Just to know that we are all there together. You're not alone. It's not something that someone's got to deal with on their own.
Thank you so much to Emily and Harriet for chatting to us. You can see more on their plans within the story today at Kent Online.
Kent Online reports.
The next stage of work to build a multi-million pound leisure centre in Gravesend is due to begin this summer. The Cascade site in Riverview is being demolished, with the new facility going in the current car park. Contractors are due to start initial work for drainage, power and water supply in August. Meantime, a company has been chosen to build a new leisure centre in Sevenoaks. Waits are going to work with the council on regenerating an area near the High Street, including replacing the current sports facility. The £138 million project also includes a culture hub and market hall, improved public transport links, and a new green corridor to Knoll Park. Now, if you head to the website today, you can see inside the Kent home of historian David Starkey, who's selling up after more than 20 years. The property in Barham near Canterbury is on the market for £1.85 million. The Georgian house is Grade 2 listed, has 7 bedrooms, 4 bathrooms, 4 reception rooms, along with a bespoke library and about 3/4 acre of mature gardens. Well, Mr. Starkey has been telling reporter Max Chesson how he feels about leaving.
I'm ferocious in intellectual combat. And have always taken a pride in it. But that's only part of it, you know. We're a bundle of different things, yeah. And bundle of different things. And you're seeing here something very different. You see things that I love, and you move on. I mean, I'm not a sentimentalist in that sense. And on the other hand, I'm a historian, conservative. I take attachments to these things seriously. But it's... If things live on, they live on as part of you, it seems to me. And there's nothing worse, I think, than clinging on.
A Sittingbourne pub has seen a boost in trade following a £50,000 makeover. The Beauty of Bath had struggled to attract customers in recent years and was even closing early. Well, the makeover includes a new restaurant, bar, pool table and interactive darts board. You can see pictures by heading to Kent Online. A project to create a giant tapestry telling the stories of villages across Gravesham has been awarded £8,000 in funding. It's to coincide with the world famous Bayeux tapestry returning to the UK in September for the first time in nearly 1,000 years. The money is from a community fund set up as part of the building of the new Lower Thames Crossing. The finished art will go on display in Gravesend before going on tour. Events are getting underway later to celebrate the 60th anniversary of the Uni of Kent. A comedy night is being held at the Canterbury campus this evening. Tomorrow there'll be live music, food and cocktails on the slopes overlooking the cathedral, followed by a diamond gala dinner. And comedians are going to be rolling giant balls through Canterbury city centre today for the filming of a new TV game show. Let's Play Ball is being produced by the team behind Amazon's hit show Last One Laughing, who've called the show hilarious and very silly. Shoppers in Canterbury will need to watch out for 45 kilogram spheres being pushed by comedians past iconic landmarks such as the Cathedral and Westgate Towers.
Kent Online Sport.
Cricket, and former Kent player Jordan Cox will continue batting for England in their second test against New Zealand today. The 25-year-old from Margate had scored 22 runs by the close of play yesterday, with England resuming on 222 for 6 in their first innings. New Zealand scored 391 in their first go with a bat. And Kent are hosting Middlesex in the County Championship. Ben Compton's due to return to the squad after dislocating his finger at the end of April. Now this match is going to mark the start of Canterbury Cricket Week. And finally, a tennis tournament with a difference is taking place near Ashford this weekend. It's happening at Y Tennis Club and is to raise money for 2 charities. Well, Lawrence Harvey is a coach there and he's been explaining all to Lucy.
I am playing a 17-hour tennis match to raise as much money as possible for children with cancer. So I start at 5 a.m. and finish at 10 p.m. and I have new opponents come on the hour every hour. So yeah, it's going to be tough.
What made you decide to do that?
I just think it's a really good cause. I'm really looking forward to the challenge. And second of all, I just hate the idea of any child suffering. So anything we can do to help, that's my big motivation, really.
What sort of preparation have you done for playing for that length of time?
Not a lot, other than just keep coaching tennis and doing my day job. But just going to make sure I get an early night and eat a lot of food and stay hydrated on the day because I think it's going to be a warm one. But we're just going to rock and roll, see how it goes.
Yeah, I was going to say the weather's looking pretty hot for tomorrow. Have you got sort of lots of water and things there as well?
Yeah, I'm going to come prepped and a lot of the people who are going to come along and play in the house, lots of me are kindly going to bring me ice lollies, drinks, snacks, whatever I need just to keep me going, and hopefully a load of energy to keep me going as well.
Yeah, I imagine you'll need it. What will you do for kind of like food breaks and toilet breaks and everything?
I reckon just when a new opponent rocks up, I will just take a 5 minute break just to let them warm up and catch my breath, and then we go again.
What's going to be the biggest challenge, do you think, as the day goes on? Because obviously you're starting at sunrise and playing all the way through till sunset, and it's the summer solstice, so it's the longest day.
Yeah, that was the plan and that was the challenge. I just think number one, making sure I don't get injured, but I hopefully be all right, touch wood. And yeah, just pure like concentration and energy. But that's where I like the idea of a new opponent every hour who can bring fresh energy and pick me up if I need it. And yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to the most.
So sunrise to sunset means they'll be taking to the court at 5 a.m. tomorrow morning. The charities that'll benefit are Children with Cancer UK and Histio UK. We wish everyone taking part all the very best of luck. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the site, you can also subscribe to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. Whilst you're on the site today, don't forget to check out the latest review from our secret drinker and head to the What's On pages for details of everything going on in the county. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. We'll be back with the podcast on Monday.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.